ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातं महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचा कल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुत स्तुवन्ति दिव्ये स्त्वे वेदे संग पद क्रम उपनिषदे गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानवस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरसुरगणा देवयः तस्मै नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दायो नमो नमः नमः पङ्कजनाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांगरे సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్తి హేతవే తాపత్రాయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. Okay, once again welcome and thank you for being here. So we are continuing our discussion from Srimad Bhagavatam. So last week in Srimad Bhagavata Katha session we discussed the pastimes of son of Drona punished and then Parikshit Maharaj saved. And then next when Krishna is about to leave from Hastinapur to go to Dwarika, as Krishna is stepping onto his chariot, it's a nice, the whole chariot description is there, nice beautiful chariot, his chariot driver Daruka, as Krishna steps onto the chariot to leave from Hastinapur, Kunti Maharani comes and start offering prayers. And we are going to discuss the prayers of Queen Kunti, Kunti Stuti, and why these prayers are so wonderful. First of all, the prayer. So Kunti, by her example, she is teaching how to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. So in one of the previous sessions, we discussed the art of prayer. Generally, when we pray to the Lord, our prayer is generally for asking something. So Kunti Maharani describe in her prayers are categorized in different way. Prayers for glorifying the Supreme Lord, glorifying her majesty, her characteristics, her great qualities. Prayers thanking the Lord for all his mercy and protection. And then prayer for asking something from the Lord. And what she is asking is amazing. And when we hear what Kunti is asking the Lord to give to her, you will be surprised what kind of prayer that can be. So prayers of Queen Kunti has got a special place in Srimad Bhagavatam. And why we are interested in these prayers, the sincerity in her prayers, the topmost humility in her prayers. She offered the prayers like 5,000 years back when Krishna appeared, and her prayers are still sung with great reverence. So we are going to enter into the prayers of Queen Kunti. So last time I described a little bit background of Queen Kunti. So she is the elder sister of Vasudev, father of Krishna. And she was adopted by king of Kunti Bhoj. That's why her name came as Kunti. And how these Pandavas were born. So the first prayer of Queen Kunti, as Krishna is stepping onto the chariot, as so Kunti, come and start offering the prayer. Kunti says, Krishna, please listen to what I want to say. And Krishna says, yes, my dear aunt, Bua Kunti. So please tell me what you want to say. And Kunti start offering the prayer. Kunti vacha namaste purusham twadhyam ishwaram prakrite param alakshayam sarvabhutanam antir bahiravasthitam namaste purusham twadhyam. So Kunti comes, offer her prayer, namaste, I offer my obeisances. And Krishna says, why dear aunt, you are my aunt. And whenever I come, you give me blessings. Sukhi bhav, ayushman bhav. And how come now you are coming and offering me your obeisances, that I pay my obeisances? So Kunti say, I know who you are. I know your real position, who you really are. So that's why I'm offering my obeisances to you. Namaste purusham. You are the supreme purusha. So Krishna says, everybody, there are many purusha. It's not that I am the alone Purusha, there are many Purushas. So Kunti says, yes, there are many Purushas, but actually You are the only Purusha. Everybody else is Prakriti. So there is only one Purusha, and we are all like the compilation of Prakriti. So in that way, Prakriti is female. So in that sense, everybody is female and there is only one Purusha. So I am offering my obeisances. You are the Purusha. And even though everybody is also all living entity, there are other Purushas also, but you are the original Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham Tavadhyam, you are the original Purusha without any origin. Everybody, even though as soul, everybody may be eternal, but they are not the Supreme Lords. Ishwaram, you are the Ishwara, the controller. And Krishna says there are many other Ishwaras. There is Surya, Chandra, Indra, they are also Ishwaras. So Kunti says, yes, they are also Ishwaras. But you are the Ishwara which is beyond the modes of material nature. Ishwaram Prakritihe Param. All the other Ishwaras, all the other controllers, they are within the modes of material nature. But you are beyond the modes of material nature. Ishwaram Prakritihe Param. So sometimes people think Krishna, when he appears in this material world, he also accepts a body and he is also under the modes of material nature. But Kunti here, in her simple prayers, even Kunti knows the fact, what is the position of Krishna, that you are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead who does not entangle with the modes of material nature. You are always beyond the modes of material nature. And if somebody consider Krishna to having a body like our ordinary, all of us as ordinary human beings, they are the topmost sinners, Brahma described in his prayers. If somebody consider Krishna's body to be made of material nature, under the influence of modes of nature, they are going to suffer in the hell for long duration. So you are Ishwara, who is beyond the modes of material nature. Alakshayam sarva bhutanam antir bahiravasthitam. You are situated in everybody, inside everybody, and you are situated outside in everything. Still you are invisible to everybody. Alakshayam, you are invisible. Sarva bhutanam antir bahiravasthitam. So even though you are situated inside everybody, nobody is able to see you. You are situated everywhere outside in this whole material world, in every atom, every particle, but you are invisible to everybody. Now how is that? That Krishna is there and we are not able to see Krishna. Krishna is inside everybody. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. I am situated in everybody's heart. But if Krishna is situated in everybody's heart, so why everybody, nobody is able to see Krishna? So now there is a bypass heart surgery, there is a whole body
dissection
and all, they cut down the whole body, the doctors rip apart, that kind of open up the whole heart, but still nobody is able to see Krishna. So Kunti Devi is saying, even though you are situated inside everybody, nobody is able to see you. And you are situated outside everywhere. You are situated in each atom, each particle. Nobody is able to see you. Generally people come up with this question, can you show me God? If God is there, why I cannot see God? If God is there, let him become visible to my eyes. Then I will believe in the existence of God. So, but Krishna, even though he is situated inside everything, outside everything, he is invisible. And why he is invisible, Kunti is describing in her next prayer. But here, what Kunti is describing, even though Kunti being a simple woman, she knows the topmost position of Krishna, that he is not an ordinary person, even though he is situated among, as one of our relatives, he looks to be an ordinary human being, doing the activities like an ordinary human being, but he is not an ordinary human being. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she is describing her characteristic, his topmost position here. And this verse describes the supremacy of the Lord. Sometimes people think God to be some cheap object, God is somebody has some little mystic power, somebody has some little powers. They claim that person to be God. But God is not cheap with that small amount of mystic power. It's not that God's supremacy can be claimed by some sort of mystic power. That, oh, if somebody is able to produce some sort of gold with his mystic power, oh, he is God. If producing gold because of some little mystic power is the qualification to become God, then we should think about somebody who has created these big, big gold mines. Right? There are gold mines, all these minerals and the natural elements. So somebody has created all that. If that is the qualification for somebody to be considered as God, then we should look at the original person who has created all this abundance of resources. And sometime there may be some little saintly person, some sadhu, somebody, and people start considering him to be God. Yes, there may be nice saintly person, some sadhu who is engaged in the welfare of people, who has little compassionate nature toward everybody, but it doesn't mean he is God. So there are so many such babas and such saintly person, people start claiming them as God and they will put them equal to God. They will put them as equal to Krishna and start worshipping them as Krishna, start worshipping them as the Supreme Lord. Yes, they may be nice, saintly person, no doubt in that. But we cannot just start considering anybody as being the Supreme Lord and start put them equal to the Lord and start worshipping them. Having respect for everybody is one thing, right? That is the qualification of a nice Vaishnava, that they consider everybody with respect. They are not envious of anybody, but the love is reserved for the Supreme Lord. We should have respect for everybody, no doubt. But we should not start claiming anybody to be God. There are a lot of people, right? We know the classical example of Sai Baba. Not to offend anybody. But people, yes, Sai Baba, he is a nice, saintly person.
Which Sai Baba? Which one?
The original Sai Baba. Right? So there are a lot of people, a lot of devotees who consider him as God. And they worship him equal to God. Putting the picture or the deity of that saintly person on the altar equal to the Supreme Lord. So if we have to consider in that way, then what about the other great, great, great saintly person who has appeared in the history? First of all, let's talk about Srila Vyasadev. If somebody can be even greater than Vyasadev if we have to consider as a sage. So Vyasadev, he was the greatest sage in that way, who engaged in the welfare of the whole human society. He gave us all these scriptures, he compiled all the scriptures for the benefit of humanity. So who can be more compassionate than him? So if we have to consider somebody, some saintly person in that way, so one should be very intelligent, very understanding the scriptures. Who is the Supreme Lord? What is the qualification criteria for somebody to be considered as the Supreme Lord? I'm not saying one should not offer any respect. We should be respectful to everybody. But we should not commit that offense of considering anybody as the Supreme Lord. So Kunti, very clearly in her prayers, she is describing, you were there all the time with us as our relative. You were as a friend to my son, as my nephew, and we were considering you like that. But I know your real position. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she is coming now offering her prayers. And why she described why Krishna is not visible to anybody, even though he is situated everywhere, inside, outside, everything. Why he is not visible to anybody's eyes? Maya javnika channam agyadokshajam avyayam na lakshyase mudadrisha nato natyadharo yatha. Maya javnika channam. Because Krishna, why he is not visible to anybody's eyes? He is covered by his own maya. That's why you are not visible to anybody. Even though situated inside, every side, outside, everything, you cover yourself with your illusory potency. And she gives the examples. Nato natya dharo yatha. As a actor does his acting on the stage, dressed up like an actor, he is not recognized by many people. So there is, when somebody is doing a play, part in a play, they dress up nicely with nice costumes and everything, and it's become very hard to recognize who that person really is. And sometimes even their close relative, their mother, father may not be able to recognize them. So in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing a play on the stage, and his mother, Sachi Mata, could not recognize, this is my Nimai. So dressed up like an actor, people are not able to recognize them. And she gives the other example. So the other example given here is like a, sometimes we see a puppet show. So Katputli ka khel, Katputli ka tamasha. So sometimes when you are seeing the puppet show, so there is a puppet with nice different puppets, and they are doing different things on the stage. They are dancing, they are running, walking, singing, crying, laughing. So they may do all sort of different things. But is the puppet who is really doing this? So there is a puppeteer who is behind the stage, in the background, not seen by anybody. And he is pulling all these strings. And because of that, the puppets are doing all that act. They seem to be dancing, laughing, crying, talking, walking, playing the guitar and all sort of things. But the puppeteer is so expert, he knows which string to pull to make the puppet do that particular movement. So Krishna is that puppeteer who is making this whole play, this whole stage, this whole world is like a stage. And Krishna is pulling the strings, making everything dance into his tune. So, as a actor is dressed up in a costume, is not recognized by anybody, even though you are situated everywhere, you are covered up by your illusory potency. So you are invisible to everybody. And Krishna's illusory potency is so great, it acts in two ways. One is called Mahamaya, and the other category is Yoga Maya. So Mahamaya is which is covering the general ordinary human beings to not recognize Krishna, to be not able to recognize Krishna. And the Yoga Maya potencies which help Krishna in his pastime for his reciprocation with his devotees. So like when Mother Yashoda, she is trying to bind Krishna, or when Krishna opens up his mouth to show the whole universe, Mother Yashoda is bewildered that, oh, who is Krishna? Is he somebody, some supreme lord? Is he the Bhagwan? But as immediately, Krishna's Yogamaya potency covers up Mother Yashoda, so that she can treat Krishna as a child, so that the motherly affection doesn't go away. So Krishna's Mahamaya potency and the Yogamaya potency covers up Krishna's identity. So this Krishna is covered up by his Maya and not recognized by anybody. And actually Lord Shiva describes this position of this whole world as a stage, and Lord being the puppeteer who is making all these things to work. Uma daru yoshit ki nahi sabahi nachavat Ram Gosai. Uma daru yoshit ki nahi. This whole play. So Lord Shiva is explaining to Parvati Devi that this whole world is like a stage, and everybody is dancing to the tunes of Lord Ram. He is the puppeteer who is making everybody dance. So Kunti Devi is saying, I have recognized you, who you are. I am able to see all these puppets. I am able to see the puppeteer. I am able to see the play of these puppets. The background curtain also, and behind the curtain I am able to see this puppeteer. And you are the one who is making everything happen. Everybody is just acting, influenced by the law of karma, and this, the strings of the karma are in your hand. Everybody is just acting on your tune. Everybody is seeing, everybody has seen this war of Kurukshetra. Everybody has seen what has happened in the war, who fought with what, who killed whom. But nobody is able to see who is behind all that, who is the Sutradhar behind all that. So I have recognized your position. And then Kunti described, I know what is the reason of your appearance in this world. People may think, why Krishna appears? And Krishna says actually in Bhagavad Gita, he gives some sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharam sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna says, I come to protect my devotees. I come to destroy the demons, demonic person. I come to establish the principles of religion. But Kunti says, I don't think these all the reasons are the real reason for your appearance. I don't think you have to personally come to protect your devotees. I don't think you have to personally come to destroy all these demonic person. Everything can happen by just your sankalpa, by just your desire, everything can happen. You can protect your devotees sitting in your own personal spiritual abode. You can destroy all the demons just sitting in your abode with your sankalpa. See, when you create the whole creation, do you need any help? Everything is created by just your desire. You desire and everything manifests. And at the time of annihilation, you don't need anybody's help. It happens all with your sankalpa. And to establish the principle of religion also, it can happen with your sankalpa. Just with your desire, you imparted the whole knowledge into the heart of Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. So you just imparted all the knowledge in the heart of Brahma. So actually, those are not the real reason for your appearance. So what is the real reason for your appearance? So Kunti says, in my understanding, what is the reason of your real appearance is Tatha Paramahansanam Muninam Amlatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katham Pashye Mahistriya Tatha Paramahansanam Muninam Amlatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham. You come to give Bhakti Yoga to all the great, great Paramahansas, Muninam, Amalatmanam, Atmaram, all these category of people, the people who are transcendentalists, people who are the mental speculators or the philosophers, the great, great Munis, Amalatma, Vimalatma, Atmaram, all these category of people, to attract them also to the path of bhakti, to give them bhakti yoga, that's why you appear. That is your real reason of appearance. What is Paramahansa? So Hansa, what is the correct quality of Hansa? Hansa is somebody, so his great quality is he can separate the milk out of water. So that is Hansa. What is Paramahansa? So even Param. So who has that quality to the superlative degree? So that is Paramahansa. So the Paramahansa is somebody who can extract the essence. So all these Paramahansas who are great, great transcendentalists, they have, with the dint of their knowledge, they have cut down their sensory activities. They have, their mind does not get attracted to all these material things. So all these great, great munis, with the dint of their knowledge, they are not engaged in any material mundane activities. But still, that is not the complete success of their having these senses, having this body. Their mind is not bewildered at all, but their senses are not engaged in the service of the Lord. Until the senses, the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, the eyes are not engaged in seeing the form of the Lord, the ears are not engaged in hearing about the Lord, the tongue is not engaged in tasting the bhoga offered to the Lord, the nose is not engaged in smelling the tulsi leaves, the flowers offered to the Lord. Head is not used in bowing down at the feet of the Lord. All these senses are useless. So their minds are not disturbed, but their senses are still not positively engaged. See, in our case, what happens is our mind is also disturbed and our senses are looking for sensory objects, the material objects. And when we get the sense objects, we think that to be the success. When we get the object of our Gyanendriya, Karmendriya, we think that is the success of life. Somebody has got nice house, nice cars, nice family, nice eatable, all these things. We think, oh, I have attained a lot. But that is not the real success of having a human form of life. But what to speak of all these great, great transcendentalists, until their senses are not engaged, they also still not get the complete success. So just to attract all these people, that's why you appear, do your leela, do your pastimes, so people can be attracted. So gopis actually also say one very nice prayer. There is a nice pastime where the gopis are saying, when the gopis are wandering in the forest to search for Krishna, so the gopis are saying, "Ai sakhya, are your sakhis? What is the use of these eyes which are not able to take darshan of Krishna? What is the use of these ears which are not able to hear the nice melody of Krishna's flute?" So all our senses are useless if we are not able to engage in relation with Krishna. So all these Paramahansas, Muninam, Atmaram, Amalatma, Vimalatma, to give them the success of their body, success of their senses, Krishna appear to attract their heart with performing his activities. And in the pastime of, so there are so many nice Paramahansas, transcendentalists like Shukdev Goswami, the Sanat Kumara, Sanakadi Kumaras, the Navayogendras, whose life also is successful only when they hear about Krishna's pastime. So Shukdev Goswami, he left the house as soon as he was born. Even though Srila Vyasadevi was chasing him, calling him, "My dear son, come back, come back." But he never listened to anything. He went into the forest. And Srila Vyasadev, he sent his disciples in the forest to find Shukdev Goswami and bring him back. And he taught few shlokas to his disciple that you please recite these shlokas, and when Shukdev hear these shlokas, he will be attracted. So Shukdev Goswami is sitting under a tree, and these disciples of Vyasadev, they come and recite one nice shloka glorifying Krishna's beauty, Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. Varaha pidam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaram vibhradvasa kanaka kapisham vajantim chamalam randhran venu radhara sudaya purayen gopavrindai vrindaranyam swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. So Krishna is doing his nice pastimes with the Gopa boys in Vrindavan. And what is his beauty? Varaha Pidam. He is wearing a nice peacock feather on his head. Natvara Vapuhu. Nat means actor, or nat also means a dancer. Var means groom, dulha. And Vapu means the body. So, Natavar Vapuhu. So, one meaning is Krishna is the greatest of dancers. So, there are many Nata, right? Many dancers, many actors. And Lord Shiva also is described as a great dancer. He is known as Nataraj. Nataraj Raj Namo Namo. So, he is Nataraj who does nice Tandava Nritya. But Lord Shiva also is attracted seeing the pastimes of Krishna, seeing the beauty of Krishna. So Lord Shiva is Nut, and he also comes as Gopi, desiring to have Krishna as his husband. He gets Kanta Bhav. Lord Shiva gets Kanta Bhav. He gets the Bhav of a Gopi, and he comes to participate on Lord Krishna's Rasa dance, dressed up as a Trilochana Gopi. So he also wants to have the nice pastime with Krishna. So Lord Shiva is Nataraj, and Krishna is Nataraj Raj. And Lord Shiva is a great dancer, that's why he is called Nataraj. He dances on Kailash, and everybody is so attracted towards Lord Shiva's Tandava Nritya. But Lord Shiva is attracted by seeing Krishna's dance. He comes to see Krishna's dance. So now if anybody have to dance, so they want their stage to be very stable. Is there anybody who want to dance on a broken stage, that you put one step here and the stage goes down there, you put another step and the stage goes down on the other side? People will say, first fix the stage. We don't want to get our bones broken. Haddiyan hi tudwani hai hame apni. So Lord Shiva is dancing. He is a great dancer. He is dancing at the time of Pralaya. He is doing the Tandav Nritya. But his stage is also very stable. Kailash. Right? Kailash is Achala. Immovable. But here when Krishna is doing the dance, he is dancing on the heads of Kaliya. And Kaliya, Krishna is dancing on the heads of Kaliya. One fang goes like this, another fang goes like this. The heads are going up and down of the Kaliya. So it's a moving stage. And Krishna is graciously dancing on the stage, on this moving stage. Along with dancing, he's playing his flute. And Lord Shiva comes to watch this dance. Krishna dancing on the Kaliya. He's attracted by Krishna's dance. Jaise bolte hai na aapki, har ada pe main fida hoon. So that is, Shiva is telling Krishna, aapki har ada pe main fida hoon. That is Krishna's dance. He is called Natavar Vapu. So that is Krishna's beauty. So Krishna is doing this leelas to attract everybody. He can attract the heart of everybody, no matter who is a great transcendentalist, the munis, the sages, Nishkam Karmi or Sakam Karmi, everybody is attracted to Krishna's pastime. And he is wearing Karnayo Karnikaram. So Karnayo is the ears. So ears is Dvivachan. Two ears. Karnikaram, the flower. The Karnikaram flower is like a yellowish flower. So flower is mentioned as singular and the ears are mentioned as plural, Dvivachan. So, but there is only one flower. Krishna is wearing one flower. So Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami describes this flower is like a indication flower, Sanket Pushpa. So what is this Sanket Pushpa is? So Krishna is wearing this flower. He is using that same one single flower. Sometimes he puts on the right ear, sometimes same flower he takes put on the left ear. And why is this an indication flower, Sanket Pushpa? When Krishna is going to herd the cows in the forest, all these gopis, thousands and thousands of gopi, come in the morning in Nanda Bhavan. And they are not able to tolerate that separation for the whole day from Krishna. So they come to see Krishna, but they see Nanda Baba there, Yashoda Maya there, Dau Bhaiya there. So they cannot say anything to Krishna. That what everybody else will think. But they are telling through their eyes. And Krishna is able to understand their bhava through their eyes. And Krishna also indicates to them, why are you so worried? I am holding on to your mind. Your mind will not bewilder anywhere. Your mind will not go to any worldly things. And Gopi says, yes, we are very thankful you are holding on to our minds. But how will we tolerate your separation for the whole day? And they want to know where Krishna is going, so we can also come there and take darshan of Krishna. And Krishna also doesn't want to say anything verbally, he doesn't speak anything, but he wants to indicate to the gopis, So he is looking at somewhere, smiling, and he wants to indicate where I will be going. So if he is going on that side, he will take that pushpa and put on that ear, indicating I'm going in that direction today. And gopis will understand. If he is going in that direction, he will take that pushpa and put it on that ear. I'm going in this direction today. And gopis will understand, oh, Krishna is going on that side. So we all should go that side and enjoy in Krishna's pastime. It's like Krishna is indicating them through eye-to-eye signal. Like there are old movies song, right? Sometimes, aankho hi aankho mein ishara ho gaya, baithe baithe jeene ka sahara ho gaya. So this actually applies to gopis. If somebody really has to understand the mood of this song, it applies to the gopis. They are just seeing the indications of Krishna through the eyes, and they get some unko kuch ummeed ho jati hai, abhi Krishna ko dekh payenge, ki Krishna is taraf jayenge, hum bhi us taraf chalenge aur Krishna ka darshan karenge. And the gopis are saying, chalo sakhi wahan jaye jahan base brajraj, goras bechat hari mile ek panth dui kaj. Chalo sakhi wahan jaye jahan basat brajraj. Oh, all the friends, oh, all the gopis, let's go all on the same direction where Brajraj is there, where Nandraj is there, where Krishna is there. Goras bechat hari mile. We'll sell our milk and yogurt and butter also, and by doing that we'll be able to see Krishna also. Goras bechat hari mile ek panth dvikaj. So the gopis also go wherever Krishna is going. Gopi also go in that direction because they are so attracted to Krishna, they cannot have any separation from Krishna. And gopis are taking their pots of yogurt, the butter and milk and everything, and they are trying to sell. But Surdas ji, he has very nice bhajan. He described that gopis are going to sell their yogurt and butter and milk and all that, but rather than saying doodh le lo, dahi le lo, makhan le lo, they are saying Govind le lo, Madhav le lo, makhan chor le lo. So their minds are completely absorbed in Krishna. Rather than saying doodh le lo, dahi le lo, makhan le lo, they are talking, calling out the names of Krishna. And gopis are so mad after Krishna, to see Krishna, to hear the music of his flute, to take darshan of Krishna. They just become like mad. In Braj language, they go babari. Gopi is babari bhai. They become mad. They want to go to their houses, but they are so mad after Krishna, they keep coming again and again to Nanda Maharaj's palace. They forget the direction of their home. They are so mad after Krishna. So Krishna is attracting everybody's heart. So this verse was spoken to attract Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami heard this verse. He got attracted. Now who is this personality, such attractive, such nice, beautiful pastime? He is so beautiful, decorated nicely with yellow, golden clothes and peacock feather and this flower and Vajanti Mala. He got up, but again, second moment, he sat down thinking, oh, this is all external beauty. Somebody, lot of people in this world are externally very beautiful, but internally, their heart may be very dark, black. Their heart may not be as soft. So then the disciples of Vyasadeva, they recited another verse. Aho bakiyam stanakal kutam jengam sepaya dapya sadhavi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tato anyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Aho bakiyam, even this demoness, she came disguised as a very beautiful lady. Aho bakiyam, like a bagula. So by seeing the bagula, you cannot judge the intentions of a bagula. So baka means bagula. So there was a demon also, Bakasura. right? And Putana, she is also sister of Bakasur. So that's another meaning of Ahobakiyam. She was a sister of Bakasur. And here the meaning is that she is like a Bagula, Baguli. She is disguised, came as disguised. So Bagula, by looking him externally, one may not know his real intention. Somebody may think Bagula to be a very saintly person. So there is one very nice, very beautiful pastime of Lord Ramachandra. So as Lord Ramachandra approached Pampa Sarovar when he was going to meet Sugriv, so he approached Pampa Sarovar, and as he came to Pampa Sarovar, he saw one very nice Bagula standing in the river, standing in that strover. And Bagula generally is standing on one leg, closing his eyes. So it's like one great sage doing a lot of austerity, standing on one leg, closing his eyes, meditating internally. So Lord Ram told Lakshman, see, look at the Pampa Sarovar. In Pampa Sarovar, even the Bagulas look like very saintly person, absorbed in deep meditation. And Lakshman said, Prabhu, I cannot say anything about him. I know only you. And your nature is, you think everybody to be like you. That you are so soft-hearted, so modest, and you think everybody is like that. I know your nature, but I have not associated with this Bagula. I cannot say anything about him. If we want to know really about this Bagula, we have to call somebody who is associate of this Bagula. So Lord Ram called one small fish, Machli Rani. Aap aaiye aur thoda bataiye ye Bagula Bhakt ke baare mein. Right? Sometimes some people are called as Bagula Bhakt. From externally, they pose themselves as nice devotees. Very humble. But internally, it's all pride and envious and all those characteristics are there. So that is like Bagula Bhakt. Externally appears to be a very saintly person. So they call this small fish. Please you describe. Looks like you are very fortunate staying with this great saintly person there in the sarovar. And the fish said, Prabhu, I know about this. Kahe ki saintly person. This Bagula, he is standing in the sarovar on one leg, closing his eyes. But he is standing there ready to catch us. As soon as we come closer to his beak, he is going to dip his beak and catch us and eat us. So that is the nature of Bagula. Bagula disguises externally. And Putana came disguised as a very beautiful woman. But her intention was to kill Krishna by feeding him poison. And as this beautiful damsel is approaching Nand Bhavan, all the cowherd men and women, seeing the beauty of this lady, they are thinking, oh, maybe she is goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And they are thinking, oh, Nand Baba spent so much money on this festival at Krishna's birth that Nand Baba's whole treasury is empty now. Nand Baba ka pura khajana khali ho gaya. So goddess of fortune herself has come to fill the treasure. So bhai jaan do, Lakshmi Devi aayi hai, unko jaan do andar. And some are saying, oh, this boy which is born in Nand Baba's palace, he is Supreme Lord himself, he is Vishnu himself. And Lakshmi Devi was left alone. So Lakshmi Devi could not stay alone and she also has come. So this is Lakshmi, looks like she is Lakshmi. So everybody is so attracted to seeing the beauty, external beauty of Putana disguised as this beautiful lady. And she, without any resistance from anybody, she goes inside and she wants to feed the poison to Krishna. But Krishna, knowing the real intention, Krishna sucked out her life air. But Krishna gave the highest position to this demoness Putana. He gave him the position equal to his mother. Lebe gatim datri uchitam. The position befitting to be a mother. That position Krishna awarded to her. Kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. Who can be more merciful than that? So when Shukdev Goswami heard this, now he was attracted. Oh, not only externally beautiful, this person whom they are describing in these nice verses, this nice poetry, he is internally also very gentle. And I want to know more about him. I want to hear more about him. So Shukadeva Goswami was attracted. And he asked them, please tell me more. Please speak more. And the disciples of Srila Vyasa, they said, oh, we know only these two verses. But our Gurudev, he has compiled 18,000 verses. You please come and hear from him. And then Shukadeva Goswami came back. So here Kunti Devi is saying, I know the real reason of your appearance. You don't have to come to protect the devotees or to destroy the demonic people or to establish dharma. That can happen with your sankalpa only. But the real reason of your coming in this world is to attract all other people, engage them in your bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham. So that is the real purpose of your appearance. And then in the next verse, she describes the offers her nice prayers addressing to Krishna in selected prayers and selected names of Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Krishna, the son of Vasudev, who appeared as a son of Vasudev. Devaki Nandanaya cha, who appeared as a son of Devaki. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, the child of Nanda Baba and all the Brajavasis. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. I offer my repeated obeisances unto you. So Kunti is again and again offering her prayers with the selected, addressing Krishna with selected names. Somebody may ask, sometimes people say, well, how can God can have some name? God is unlimited. How can we limit God by giving him some name? And who give name to God? Who can give name to God? So, the names of Krishna specified his characteristic, his pastime, his leela, his qualities. Generally, our experience is, name is no relation to the real characteristic of the person. The person may be named as Nayanasukh. And he may be blind from eyes. So there is no relation with the name and the actual quality of the person. Person may be named as Sundar. But from externally looking, that person may not be beautiful actually. The person actually, every child to her, his own mother looks very beautiful. Every mother thinks her child to be very attractive, very beautiful. So the person may be named Sundar, but actually he may not be beautiful. So our experience is the name has no relation with the actual person. It's just as a label. So how can we put a label on God? God is not limited. But the names of Krishna, the names of God are non-different from Krishna. The name of Krishna relate to his characteristic, his pastime, his leela, his gun. Like Krishna is named here, Krishna is addressed as Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandan. Nanda Kopa Kumar, Govinda, based on his relationship with the devotees. And he is known as Makanchor, Ranchor, based on his pastime. What pastime he performs? Because of stealing the butter, he is named as Makanchor. He ran away from the war when he was fighting with Kaliyavana, and he was named as Ranchor Rai. So Krishna gets his name because of his qualities, and Krishna, name Krishna itself means who is most attractive, and there is nobody more attractive than Krishna. Name of Lord Ram, Ram means who gives pleasure to others. So name of Krishna are as per the qualities of Krishna. And who gives name to Krishna? Krishna doesn't have any father or mother in the original spiritual world. Krishna is the Adi Purusha. He is the original Purusha. So who gives name to Krishna? So name to Krishna is given by his devotees. And whatever way the Krishna's devotee address Krishna, Krishna lovingly accept that name. So Kunti Rani, Kunti Maharani, she is praying Krishna with addressing him with various names. And this is very simple prayer actually. And this is a prayer I commonly use in my recitation prayers also in the beginning. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So as we keep describing, what is the benefit or importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Generally people hear Bhagavatam in 7 days. Right? There is a system of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a
crash course.
Sapta. Sapta katha, saptaha, 7 day katha. So, but one should be able to hear the whole Bhagavata as 7 day, like Parikshit Maharaj heard from Shukdev Goswami in continuous 7 days. So if one is not able to hear like that in 7 days, one can read maybe in 1 month the whole Bhagavatam, if not in 1 week, 1 month. And if one read 10 chapters or 12 chapters every day, one can complete whole Bhagavatam in 1 month. So if one cannot do that, if one read one chapter every day, one can complete whole Bhagavatam maybe in 1 year. One chapter per day, in 1 year one can complete Bhagavatam. If one cannot do that, at least one verse a day. And if one cannot read one verse, half verse, even if one read half verse, one can get that benefit of reading Bhagavatam. And even one cannot read half verse, they say even if one can read 1/4 of a verse, one gets the benefit. And is it very difficult to recite 1/4 of a verse? So reading 1/4 of a verse is very easy. Like just one verse is very easy if one recite this verse. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So 1/4 verse is just if one somebody says Govindaya Namo Namaha, that is 1/4 of a verse. So if one continuously say one Govindaya Namo Namaha, one gets the benefit. And the name of Krishna, this Govinda name, is very significant. The names of Krishna are very significant. If one gives crores of cow in charity, or one performs thousands of yajna, or one donate gold equal to the Meru mountain, that cannot be equal to chanting the names of Krishna. Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
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 Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Govindaya
Govindaya namo namaha. Govindaya namo namaha. So these names of Krishna are very significant. And when people say, oh, why to put some name for God? God is unlimited. That is our misunderstanding. Because Krishna is more pleased when we call Krishna by his name. Because God is very vague term. Right? When we say Bhagawan, do we have real understanding of Bhagawan? There can be many Bhagawan. We can address many people as Bhagawan. But who is Bhagawan? So when we address with his name that he is Bhagawan, he is the Supreme Lord, then this understanding is perfect. When Prabhupada was developing this whole movement, naming, he wanted to name it as ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And his initial devoted disciples, they said, oh, why we want to call it as International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Let's call it as International Society for God Consciousness. Because everybody can relate to that word God, but who will know who is Krishna? Prabhupada said, no, it will be International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because we have to teach people Krishna is God. So just assume, if you call somebody, if you call some boy, hey boy, come here. Will that be a nice address? Or rather calling him with his name. Hari, come here. Hey you, come here. Will you like that address? Or if I say, Rajendra Prabhu, please come here. So we will be more inclined to be called with our name, to be addressed properly. And how we know who is God when we call him by his name? We know who God is. Sometimes people will just call when some problem comes or something happens. I say, oh my gosh. Or at the most people say, oh my God. So you'll see, devotee who has the nice right understanding, they will call, oh my Krishna. Oh Krishna, what happened? Right? So rather than saying, oh God, we address it by name with which God is known in his perfect understanding. So Kunti Maharani, she is offering her prayers again and again, calling Krishna by his name. And what is so special about this prayer? Or why? What is so special about all these prayers of Queen Kunti? See, when we come in front of Krishna, when you go to temple, take darshan of Krishna, you are standing in front of Krishna, and if you offer this prayer, if you offer these selected prayers to Krishna, and as Krishna here addressed like that, he remembers the devotee who had offered this prayer. And Krishna is very pleased with his devotee. Krishna is very pleased with Kunti Devi. And as he hears this prayer, Krishna remembers Kunti Devi. Krishna remembers his devotee. And he becomes very pleased. And Krishna becomes pleased because we reminded him of his devotees. So when we come in front of Krishna, we should offer the prayers to Krishna. That is the way to attract Krishna, to please Krishna. And in the next verse, Kunti Devi say, Namah Pankaj Nabhaya, Namah Pankaj Maline, Namah Pankaj Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre, Namah Pankaj Nabhaya. I offer my obeisances to you whose abdomen, whose navel is like the lotus flower. Namah Pankaj Maline. I offer my prayers to you who is wearing the garlands of lotus flowers. Namah Pankaj Netraya. I offer my obeisances to you whose eyes are like the lotus leaves. Or whose eyes are like the cooling effect like the lotus flower. Namaste Pankaj Angre. I offer my prayers to you whose feet are marked with the lotus flower. So she is offering her prayers, praying again and again. Her prayer started with Namaste. So the first prayer started with Namaste, I offer my obeisances unto you. And throughout the prayer, she is saying Namah, 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 Namah. I offer my prayers, my respects unto you, my obeisances unto you. And she is addressing Krishna that your navel is like the lotus flower. And she is giving the indication that Krishna is the origin source of all the avatars. From him the Purusha avatars come. Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Shirodakshay Vishnu. So Garbhodakshay Vishnu expands from Krishna lying on the Garbhodak Sagar. And from his navel this lotus sprouts. And on that lotus Brahma is born. So your navel is the source of all the creation. All the universe are lying inside your abdomen. And your navel is the source of that. And I offer my prayers unto you who is wearing this garland of lotus flowers. And your eyes are like lotus leaves, lotus petals. So why Krishna is, every part of Krishna's body is compared with lotus flower. Because Krishna, because lotus is considered as most beautiful object in this world. Lotus is so beautiful, it has so cooling effect. And lotus is untouched by the water. So lotus in Sanskrit is called Pankaja. Right?
Padma.
So Pankaja, Padma is flower in general sense. So Pankaja, Panka. Panka means muddy water. And Ja means who is born from that. So Pankaja is who takes birth in the muddy water. So lotus actually sprouts in a kind of a muddy water or in a dirty place. Right? Where the water is accumulated for some time. It's a standing water, not flowing water. So lotus appears in that place. But lotus is untouched by the water. If you take a lotus flower, you pour a jug of water, still not a single drop of water sticks to the lotus. So, lotus is the most beautiful object in this creation, and Krishna's beauty is compared with this lotus flower. And how, if you pay attention, how Kunti is offering her prayers. See, general etiquette is when we take darshan of Krishna, when you are standing in front of Krishna, in front of deity, the etiquette is to start taking darshan from the feet of the Lord. So you take darshan of the feet, then you move up the thighs and the abdomen and the chest and the face. So that is how we take darshan. And here, Kunti, so if Kunti is going to offer prayers, Kunti should have started from the feet. But Kunti says feet at the end. Kunti is starting her prayers, her glorification of Krishna's beauty from her, from his abdomen, from the navel. And then she goes to chest, the eyes, and then she comes back to feet. So is it that Kunti does not know the etiquette, how to offer prayers? But here Kunti, because she is playing the role of Krishna's aunt, Krishna's bua, Kunti is thinking, if I start offering my prayers from the feet of Krishna, Krishna will not feel very comfortable that I am elder to him in this leela, in this role, in this pastime. So out of that etiquette, out of that
sense,
she offers her prayers starting from the abdomen of Krishna. Namah Pankaj Nabhaya. Namah Pankaj Maline, Namah Pankaj Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre. And in the next verse, Krishna, Kunti describes Yatha Rishikesha Khalena Devaki Kamsena Rudrati Chiram Shucharpita Vimochitaham Chasahatmaja Vibhu Tavyeva Nathena Muhur Vipadgana. So Kunti says, even though your ultimate purpose of appearance is to attract everybody with your leela, but I am not denying that you come to protect your devotees also. Yes, you do that part also when you appear. As you protected your mother and father, Vasudev and Devaki, in the prison house of Kamsa. Yatha Rishikesh Khalena Devaki. You killed the enemy of Vasudev and Devaki. Kamsena. Rudra Atichiram Shucharpita. Vimochitaham cha Sahatmajah Vibhu. And you protected me along with my sons. Many, many times. Toveva Nathena Muhur Vipadganath. So you protected your mother and father from Kamsa, but you did not save the other childs of Devaki. But in my case, you protected me along with my sons again and again and again. So this is your special affection towards me, special mercy on me. So in that pastime, Krishna, let the other six sons of Devaki be killed. Kamsa killed the first six sons of Devaki. But Krishna always protected Kunti and the Pandavas. So Kunti is saying, I know you have come to protect me. I think you have taken birth, taken appearance just to protect me, just to offer your mercy on me. So that is the greatest humility and bhava, the mood of Kunti. That is the mood, that should be the mood of every devotee actually. That Krishna has come to just give me protection. Krishna has appeared only for me. Kunti is saying, everybody thought I am anath. That I don't have any support. My husband had died and I had five sons. So everybody was thinking, I am alone, I have no protection, no shelter. But I knew I am not anath. मैं अनाथ नहीं हूं, मैं सनाथ हूं, क्योंकि मेरे नाथ हैं द्वारका नाथ, मेरे नाथ है जगन्नाथ, मेरे नाथ है रघुनाथ. सो दैट इज कुंती's इंटरनल भाव, इंटरनल मूड. एंड दैट्स व्हाट वी शुड लर्न. वी शुड नॉट कंसीडर अवर सेल्फ टू बी अलोन. व्हेन देयर इज एनी प्रॉब्लम कम्स इन लाइफ, वी शुड नॉट थिंक, ओ व्हाई दिस प्रॉब्लम, हाउ विल आई टेक केयर ऑफ दिस प्रॉब्लम. We should always know Krishna is there to protect me. Hum anath nahi hai, hum sanath hai. There is one sadhu in Vrindavan, I heard. What he said is, Krishna is the only Purusha and we are all Prakriti. Right? We are all, in that sense, we are female and Krishna is the only male. In that sense, हमारा जो नाथ है वो भगवान है. सो इफ somebody doesn't consider shelter of Krishna, they are like vidva. Until we take shelter of Krishna, we are vidva. When we take shelter of Krishna, then we become sadhva. So don't stay like vidva, become sadhva. Accept Krishna as your protector, as your master. विशान महाग्ने पुरुषाद दर्शनाद असत्सभाया वनवास कृच्छ्रित मृदे मृदे अनेक महारथास्तरो द्रोणास्त्र च समाहरे भिरक्षितः. So Kunti is describing, so many problems came to me, but you were always there to protect me. Vishan, there was a poisonous cake which was fed to my son. Because of your mercy alone, he was able to, you saved him because of your mercy. So there was a pastime when all the Pandavas and Kauravas, as small children, they went for picnic on the bank of a river. And Duryodhana, because of his envy in the heart, he wanted to destroy Pandavas from very early age. And he thought, among all the Pandava, Bhima is the most strong and let me get rid of Bhima. And he knew Bhima's weakness was eating. He is so attracted to eating. So he made a sweet dish for Bhima specially and mixed poison in that. So Bhima ate a bulk of that dish and he went for taking a nap. And all the Kauravas, they thought, oh Bhima, maybe he is unconscious now. They wrapped him in a cloth and threw him in a river. And through that river, the Bhima went into Nagalok. And Bhima was bitten by the snakes. And that poison of the snakes actually turned out to be the exact antidote for that poison which was fed by Duryodhana. And Bhima came back becoming even more powerful. Like the strength of 1,000 elephants. And Kunti is saying, because it was your mercy only that you saved my sons from all the dangers. Who arranged all these snakes to come and bite Bhima with the same exact antidote for that poison? It's Krishna who arranges everything. Mahagne, then there was a great fire. The Panduas were tried to be burned alive in Lakshagra. Duryodhana made another plan to burn all the Panduas alive in Lakshagra. And because of Krishna's intervene, Krishna gave guidance to Vidura, and Vidura intervened and have the cave to be built underneath, through which the Panduas were able to rescue from that Lakshagra before it was set on fire. So again, this is because of your mercy, we were saved from that great danger also. Then Purushaddha, there were many, when we were living in the forest after being saved from this Lakshagra, we were living in forest and there was attacked by the man-eater cannibals. We were attacked by this man-eater cannibals like Hidamba. So once they were all sleeping in the forest and this Hidamba Rakshas came trying to eat up all of them. And Bhima had a fight with Hidamba and ultimately Bhima killed that demon. And then Bhima had to encounter another fight with a man-eater, another cannibal, Bakasur, when they were living in anybody knows the place? The birthplace of Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. Ek Chakra Dham. Right? So now it's called Ek Chakra. So the Pandavas were living in Ek Chakra at the house of a Brahmana. And in the village there was a system that once a week one person will be as a sacrifice to go to that Rakshasa with a cartload of food. So that demon, he will eat the cartload of food along with the person who delivered that. And he will not attack the other citizens, he will not trouble them. And this was the turn of the house in which Kunti along with her sons were staying. So she said, I will send one of my son. And Bhima went with the cartload of food, he ate all the food, and as the demon came, so there was a fight between Bhima and that Rakshasa, and Bhima ultimately killed him. But who is giving all the strength? Everybody is just like a puppet. And who is the puppeteer? Who is the sutradhar behind everything? So Kunti is saying, it's all because of your mercy we were saved again and again from all the calamities. Asat Sabhaya, then there was a great danger of this Sabha where my daughter-in-law, she was tried to be disrobed in the assembly of all these great, great Kurus, where all these great personalities were seated. The great personalities like Bhishma, Dronacharya, Kripacharya. All these great personalities were there. And she was tried to be disrobed. So no matter how many great people may be there, but if there is no talk about the Supreme Lord, that great assembly is also useless. That's a Asat Sabha. It's not a Satsang, it's a Asat Sabha. But nobody resisted, nobody came forward to protect Draupadi, but you, out of your causeless mercy, you descended, you took avatar in the form of Harsadi, and you protected Draupadi. Vanavasa Kritchit, after that my sons had to face the 12 years of exile, they had to face all these troubles of exile, and you were the one who saved them again and again and again. Once there was a danger of Dhruvasa Rishi who came with his 10,000 disciples. If he was not pleased, he will curse the Pandavas. But because of your intervention, because of your mercy, you saved them from that danger. And like that, there are so many dangers. You saved us time after time. Mride mride anek maharatha astaro. And in this war of Kurukshetra, all these great, great generals were there who had the great, great weapons with them. And you protected my sons from all these dangers. So Krishna saved many times the Pandavas in that war. He saved Arjuna from the Shakti Astra, Amoksha Shakti Astra of Karna. See, Indradev, knowing that Karna is the only competitor with Arjuna in that war, so Indra came to take away the kavacha of Karna. But Karna, Suryadev has already instructed Karna, when Indra come to ask you for this charity, you ask Indra to give his Shakti weapon. So Indra gave his Shakti weapon, but he told that you will be able to use it only once. And after that it will come back to me. And Krishna knew that this is the only greatest danger for Arjuna in this war. And Krishna made an arrangement. Ghatotkacha appeared to take part in that war. And Krishna told Ghatotkacha, harass the army of Kauravas so much that Karna will be forced to shoot that Shakti, Amogha Shakti, rather than using it on Karna, Arjuna. So Ghatotkacha is destroying the whole army of Kaurava. He is beating up Duryodhana, beating up all the generals in Kaurava's army. And finally, Duryodhana, completely beaten up, he comes in front of Karna. That you kill this Ghatotkacha, otherwise he will destroy everybody. And Karna says, no, this Astra, this Shakti weapon, I cannot use on anybody else. This I have saved only for Arjuna. And Duryodhana says, what will be the use if I am already killed? What will you use that then? Better you use it on Ghatotkacha and destroy this. And Karna finally was forced to shoot that Shakti weapon on Ghatotkacha. And Ghatotkacha, as Ghatotkacha is falling down, being hit by that Shakti, Krishna is telling Ghatotkacha, don't fall on this side, fall on Kaurava's side. While dying also, kill at least one Akshrisena of Kauravas. So as Ghatotkacha was dead, everybody is lamenting, all the Pandavas, because he is son of Bhima. So everybody is lamenting and there is a smile on Krishna's face. And people are bothered seeing the smile on Krishna's face. How come you are smiling? Bhima's son Ghatotkacha is killed and you are smiling? And Arjuna says, I am smiling, thinking that greatest danger on Arjuna is pacified. Arjuna is safe now. So Krishna saved again and again.
So was Ghatotkacha Bhim's son like from
Hidimba?
From Hidimba.
From Hidimba. Okay.
Another time Krishna saved in the war all the Pandavas from Ashwatthama's weapon. So that's why Kunti is addressing Mride Mride Anek Maharatha Astaro. There's many great generals who showed great weapons. And you protected all the time. Ashwatthama had Narayan Astra. So Narayan Astra is Lord Vishnu's weapon, Narayan Astra. So Ashwatthama shot Narayan Astra on Pandava's army. And this Narayan Astra, it can destroy everything. And the Narayan Astra is approaching towards the Pandavas, shooting the blazing fire. And Krishna, seeing this Narayan Astra coming, he immediately told all the Pandavas that everybody put down your weapons, take off your shoes and everything, come down from your chariots and just pay obeisances to this Narayan Astra. Get down from your chariots, keeping aside your weapons. Just Narayan Astra ko jhukke pranam karo. That is the only way to pacify this weapon. Because he knows everything. This is his own weapon, Narayan Astra. Everybody is ready to immediately keep aside their weapon and pay obeisances. All the Pandavas, all the army, they just lie down flat on the ground. And Arjuna is about to keep his Gandiva, Bhima tell Arjuna, no, how can you keep your Gandiva? You have taken the vow. If somebody tell you to keep your Gandiva down, you will kill that person. And Arjuna says, I know Krishna, and whatever Krishna says, I will follow his instructions. So even Arjuna, keeping aside his Gandiva, he get down from his chariot and pay obeisances. But Bhima is standing there with his gada, holding onto his gada. I will not keep my weapon until this war is done. And Narayanastra is not attacking anybody. It's just coming, focusing on Bhima's chariot now. And Krishna, seeing Bhima is not coming down, paying obeisances, he indicated to Arjuna that you do something. So Arjuna came forward, he paid obeisances to Bhima, and as a reciprocation of younger paying obeisances, Bhima immediately came down to pick up Arjuna, and this was considered as like paying obeisances. So the Narayanastra was pacified. So Krishna again and again in this great war of Kurukshetra, he protected the Pandavas. Dronyastra sacha, and now, just now, you saved Uttara, our last descendant in the womb of Uttara, from this greatest danger of Ashwatthama's weapon. So you have again and again and again saved us from all these calamities. And Kunti is being thankful to Krishna, that being always there as their protector. And that's why she is saying, I don't feel I am alone in all these calamities, in all these miseries. I think you are always there to protect us. So far Kunti has offered her prayers describing the attributes of Krishna, his supremacy, his supreme position. Kunti has offered prayer being thankful to Krishna for his protection. And her prayers continue. So she offers prayer. These are like 26 verses describing the prayers of Kunti, Kunti Stuti. And we have discussed only 7 so far. And next she is going to offer a prayer asking a boon from Krishna. You want to hear what she asked from Krishna now? Or next session.
Misery.
So there are many, many more beautiful prayers actually. So we'll continue prayers of Queen Kunti, Kunti Stuti in the next session. And I will try to sum up all the remaining prayers in the next session. So Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. If anybody has any question or comment. No question, no comment. And the climax of Kunti's prayers is what he asked from Krishna. What benefit she is asking from Krishna. It's not like you and me. What generally people ask from Krishna. Please give us this, give us that. There is a generally common prayer, right, which everybody recite as an aarti. Sukha sampatti ghara ave kashta mite tanaka. So we will hear what Kunti asks from Krishna. And your whole mindset will change. What is a prayer? And that's what makes Kunti's prayer so glorious. Okay, so thank you. Anybody has any question or comment?
Well, what of course die? Why Krishna was smiling?
That's why he was smiling. That greatest danger on the Pandavas has been...
But he should be equally...
he is equally disposed on everybody. And based on everybody's... So we discussed it last time also, right? In case of Abhimanyu. Why Krishna allowed Abhimanyu to be killed?
Even the 5 sons of Pandavas were...
Five sons of Draupadi were also killed. Mm. Krishna took the Pandus somewhere else. Mm. But the sons of Draupadi were still there in the camp. And they were killed. So Krishna, nobody can understand why Krishna does what he does. And Kunti is going to say this in her next prayers. That nobody can understand what you do, why you do. It seems like you are known to be not do anything, but you seem, looks like you are doing something. You appear to be doing something. You are known not to be take birth. You are ajanma, but it appears you take birth. So there is so much of contradictions there in your character. You are Ajanma, but you still take birth. You don't do anything, but still you seem to be doing something. You are equal to everything, but it still seems you are partial to some people. So there are so many of contradiction in you. And how I can understand you? And she is saying, what to speak of all these great, great saintly people? What about us women? How can we understand you? So Kunti knows everything about Krishna, about his topmost position, but she is saying, I don't know you. So that is the abundance of humility in Kunti's character. But sometimes we think we know a little bit and we think we know a lot. Oh, now I have understood Krishna completely. I know everything about Krishna now. And Kunti is knowing everything about Krishna and she is saying, oh, I don't know anything about you. How can I know you? Right? Anybody has any other question or comment?
So, I have a question, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Last time, during the Pariksha saving episode, right, like you mentioned that Krishna says, if I'm impartial to everyone, like then the Astra will not destroy Parikshit, right? So you mentioned...
No, the Parikshit will become alive again.
Yeah.
So his body was burned, okay, so he will become all right again.
So, I mean, what I didn't understand is God has to be partial to the people who do dharma and... I mean, so there is a...
No, so his partiality or impartiality is from what sense? That's what we have to understand. So he is equal to everybody. For him, every living entity is child of Krishna, right? Everybody is sons and daughters of Krishna. So he takes care of everybody's benefit. If somebody is willing to approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So this is what Bhagavad Gita verse we discussed. Right? So Krishna reciprocate with them as per their tendency. So Krishna does not interfere in somebody's free will. But for Krishna, everybody is equal. Like a father may have 5 sons. All 5 sons are equal to the father. He wants the welfare of all the 5 sons and he gives the resources for all of their upbringing. But ultimately, he showers his love and affection towards somebody who is more obedient, who is more responsible among the 5. Right? So that is the reciprocation. But he is impartial to everybody. It's not that, oh, I will not feed you, I will feed the other 4. So he is providing for everybody, but he reciprocates according to their reciprocation with them. So Krishna, impartial to everybody, Krishna has given equal opportunity for everybody to know about Krishna, to serve Krishna, to come back to spiritual world. It's open to everybody. Everybody can take that benefit of that available for everybody. The knowledge is there and everybody is able to hear about Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna, serve Krishna. But as people approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So even though Krishna is impartial to everybody, it seems like he is partial. Right? That oh, he is more affectionate to some category of people. He is more affectionate towards his devotee who takes shelter of Krishna. So he is partial towards them.
He's reciprocating with them, so that's the reason why we feel that he's partial. Is that because what devotees, when they do worship, we get a reciprocation,
right?
So that's the reason why that is more conspicuous as compared to the non-devotees not doing it. So that's why we would consider that as partial. Is it
so? When somebody receives some benefit, right? And the other person did not receive. The other person may think, oh, he is getting all that, I am not getting. God is partial to me. Or God is partial to them. He is providing to them, but he is making me suffer. So somebody may think that way. But Krishna is not partial to anybody. Everybody is just acting like a puppet. And Krishna is the puppeteer who is making everybody dance under the influence of the 3 modes of nature. And these 3 modes of nature, they are like pulling the ropes which are the law of karma. Based on the law of karma, these ropes are being pulled and we are dancing to that tune. Somebody is getting some benefit, somebody is suffering for something. But this is all happening based on our own actions. So Krishna is impartial. Because of our own activity, because of our own action, whatever we get or we lose, that's happening because of us only. We cannot blame for our action. We cannot blame our actions on Krishna. So that's why the verse from Bhagavad Gita is very significant. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathe bhajamyaham. As they approach me, I reciprocate, I reward them accordingly. Okay, thank you very much. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.